नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। टुडे इवनिंग वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भगवद गीता एज इट इज चैप्टर 5 टेक्स्ट 11। कायेन मनसा बुद्ध्या केवलैरिन्द्रियैरपि योगिनः कर्म कुर्वन्ति संगम तक्त्वात्मशुद्धये कायेन मनसा बुद्ध्या केवलैरिन्द्रियैरपि योगिनः कर्म कुर्वन्ति संगम तक्त्वात्मशुद्धये। ट्रांसलेशन। द योगीज अबैंडनिंग अटैचमेंट एक्ट विद बॉडी mind, intelligence, and even with the senses, only for the purpose of purification. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. When one acts in Krishna consciousness for the satisfaction of the senses of Krishna, any action, whether of body, mind, intelligence, or even the senses, is purified of material contamination. There are no material reactions resulting from the activities of a Krishna conscious person. Therefore, purified activities, which are generally called sad-achar, can be easily performed by acting in Krishna consciousness. Srila Rupa Goswami, in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, describes this as follows. Iha yasya harer dase karmana manasa gira nikhilashva vyavasthasu jivan mukta sauchate. A person acting in Krishna consciousness, or in other words, in service of Krishna with his body, mind and intelligence and words, is a liberated person even within the material world, although he may be engaged in many so-called material activities. He has no false ego, for he does not believe that he is this material body or that he possesses the body. He knows that he is not this body and that this body does not belong to him. He himself belongs to Krishna, and the body too belongs to Krishna. When he applies everything produced of the body, mind, intelligence, words, life, wealth, etc., whatever he may have within his possession, to Krishna's service, he is at once dovetailed with Krishna. He is one with Krishna and is devoid of the false ego that leads one to believe that he is the body, etc. This is the perfect stage of Krishna consciousness. I humbly seek permission from my senior godmothers so that I can speak something on Srimad Bhagavad Gita and something related to Lord Krishna. At the outset of the fifth chapter, Lord Krishna is making everything clear how a yogi should behave, or what kind of mood, what kind of attitude he should have before starting the process of bhakti yoga. To save him from unnecessary efforts later, what I mean to say here is that just like when we perform an experiment in a laboratory, we have certain assumptions. Until unless one follows those assumptions, the experiments won't have the proper results. So similarly, Krishna is telling what a yogi is supposed to do. When he is performing his activity, what kind of mood he should have. So here, he is clearly stating that he has to be unattached, abandoning attachment. And secondly, he has to do everything for the pleasure of Krishna. As the translation says, abandoning attachment, act with body, mind, intelligence, and even with the senses. And for what? Only for the purification of the self. Activity, in one sense, cannot be stopped, as Krishna has explained before. Somebody will perform an activity nonetheless, but if he performs with proper meaning or proper understanding for why he is doing, then what happens? That activity yields to him some meaning and some consistency. Just like today, once a student asked me a question that what is the difference between ritual and religion? A ritual is an activity that you, again and again, and religion also, in a way, encourages one to do a ritual. So what is actually the difference between ritual and religion, or ritual and spiritual? So, I had to think for some time, and then I said that ritual is something which is done without any meaning, for the heck of it, or rather, just for the sake of doing something. Just like, you know, the cultured families have that habit that when the son goes out of the house, he will bend down to the parents, you know, and take blessings before going and after coming. But now, that is just, you know, what do you call it, become into a ritual, like, you know, little bit bending, you know, just as if, okay, you understood, I've taken the blessings, you know, fine. It's become a ritual. But when somebody, you know, absorbs the meaning or the purpose behind it, when that is clear, then that activity becomes meaningful. And when it is meaningful, the consistency to perform that activity is an added advantage to it. Otherwise, somebody will stop the activity. That, okay, it has no meaning in my life. It will become like a painful appendix. Cut it out. I don't need it. But Krishna is saying that if you are performing yoga, if you are performing bhakti yoga, please understand that the guiding principle of performing this bhakti yoga is you have to be unattached and at the same time do everything for service to Krishna. All activities guided towards purification. Srila Prabhupada, in his wonderful book called as Nectar of Instruction, in the preface itself, he tells us about what are the purposes that Srila Rupa Goswami, one of our acharyas, one of the six Goswamis who gave us literatures of how to perform bhakti yoga in a systematic scientific way, the purpose, and in that Srila Prabhupada mentions that the main purpose why Srila Rupa Goswami gave Upadeshamrit is that to guide our activities, to give it a direction, and second is so that we can develop purity, we can become pure Vaishnavas, or we can become pure devotees. Purification, when we hear this word, it creates a lot of thoughts in mind. If somebody wants to do something for his own purification, what does exactly purification mean? Purification, by definition, the Webster's dictionary tells us, or purification, in other words, as you call in Hindi, Shuddhikaran or Sanskrit. meant to purify, Shuddhikaran. What exactly it means? So according to them, we'll take both the views, what the Webster has to say and what the Vedic scriptures have to say. So Webster says, to clear one from material defilement or imperfection, or rather, to come to perfection. To free from guilt or moral or ceremonial blemish, or rather to undo whatever has been done wrong. And third is, to be free from undesirable elements, or rather being spotless, dirt free and ritually clean, and many more. I've just taken one which is important for our context. But what does the Vedic scriptures say? What exactly purification means? Purification is a process. Srila Prabhupada mentions in his Nectar of Instruction that purification is a process by which one awakens his dormant Krishna consciousness. I mean, I'll explain what I'm saying. Awakening. Awakening means jagana. Somebody sleeping. Jago. Jago. Jagana. To awaken one's dormant. Dormant means from a sleeping state to the awakening state. Dormant. Dormant Krishna consciousness. Attraction for Krishna, which is in everybody's heart, is in a dormant state. Srila Prabhupada writes this shloka from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Sadhya Kabhunai Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte Karaye Udai. He's saying that the eternal love for Lord Krishna is residing in your heart, and at the present moment it is in a sleeping state, a dormant state. You don't have to transplant it from an outside source. You don't need to get it, you don't need to buy it. It is there in your heart, but by a process you have to awaken it. It is sleeping. Knock it in. No, wake it up. Waking that process is called purification. We have seen so many, this word pure in so many items, Many people in their products, they glorify or other, advertise, we have the purest thing. Pure ghee. Purest of water. I know a particular brand which starts with, that I'm so pure, I've come from this ranges and please have me, I'm the most crystal clear thing on the earth. Pure, everybody has this fascination for pure. But do we get these pure things so easily? Just as we see the raindrop, as it comes from the clouds, it is very in pure state. But as it comes down, it absorbs all the climate, the atmosphere, the contaminated atmosphere, and all the more, it drops into mud. So, at one time, what was a clear and pure pristine drop has now become a contaminated muddy patch. So, there is a process of purification, just as in the rivers, we have this RO system in a temple where the water goes through such a long process of purification, and after that what you get? Pure H2O. That is water. Pure water, which will definitely not give you any waterborne diseases. So that there is a process there. Jai Shri Radha Gopina Shri Lalita Vishaka Shri Gopal Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. Just like somebody has a cataract in eye and he cannot see clearly, right? So there is a process by which that cataract is removed. And once the cataract is removed, he can see clearly. So there is a process to it. Or to tell you more clearly, there is an activity. It is not something that you just sit, you close your eyes and pure. Everybody would like to have that, isn't it? You get impure water, just close your eyes and you open and it's pure. No, it doesn't come so easily. There has to be a process involved in that. So similarly, there is a process of purification of self, so that the consciousness, now we are talking about purification of self, what does that mean? The purification of one's consciousness or one's attitude, by which he can be freed from illusion and be relieved from his diseased state. Now many might say, why do you need purification? I mean, what is the problem? It's like, you know, I advertise you that, you know, yes, take this medicine. But any person will say, why do I need a medicine? What's problem with me? In today's world, today we are talking about purification, but is purification required at first place? So Padma Puran tells us, Atah Sri Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grayam Indriyai Sevon Mukhehi Jihvado Swayam Eva Spurat Ada. He's saying that our these gross senses, eyes, nose, tongue, ears, and our skin, they have become so gross. You know what meaning of gross? They become so thick. There is so much thick covering on it that we cannot relish the transcendental name, the beautiful name of Lord Krishna, His pastimes, His glories, and His form. Our senses have become so dull. I mean, I think dull makes more sense. Dull, that you're not able to appreciate the beautiful name of the Lord. So he's saying that unless one purifies himself with proper purificatory process, with proper service to Lord Krishna, nobody can appreciate it. So one has to undergo the process of purification. One more instance comes when Parikshit Maharaj is saying that unless one performs purificatory processes, he'll not be able to attain a higher life. And he'll be moving around in lower species, so much so that suffering, birth, old age, disease and death, life after life, unless one goes through a proper, legitimate, bona fide purificatory process. Just like one of my friends was telling me, Purushottam Prabhu was saying that in the previous times, people were so conscious of their every activity. There is a concept called as Panchashuna, the five kind of sins, like cooking, sweeping. After doing that, people used to perform purificatory activities so that, because there is some killing involved there, but now the people have become so gross that they don't even realize that they are doing some sin. Just in the previous lecture, Jagannath Kirtan Prabhu told us so beautifully that what is sin, what is the meaning of sin? What exactly a sinful activity means? People, what to speak of purification, they don't even acknowledge that they are doing some sinful activity. Such is the state. But when Vedic scriptures are telling us that no, so much even cooking and sweeping is considered to be a sin in one way, that for killing animals, you need to do some purificatory activity. Such was the level that time. But now the level is that one has to be told that you're doing some sin. And what happens because of that? People are engulfed in so many problems in today's world. What is the proof that one has a disease? If I tell that you have TB, you have malaria, how does a doctor come to know that he has a disease? By symptoms. Some symptoms displayed by the patients will come to know that yes, you have disease, you are diseased. So today, what are today's diseases? Mental imbalance, stress, anxiety, depression. So many diseases are telling us, pointing out again and again, stop your sinful activities. But people are not, no, what's the problem in that? If I have mental disease, I'll take a depression pill, which will give me which will cure me for some time, and again I have to again take more. No more use. My pocket is full. I'll keep buying the pills. What's the problem? So according to the Vedic scriptures, if one is not purified, one will not get a proper birth. Now, we have covered what is purification, why do we need purification. Now, we come to the part that what exactly or how do we perform the purificatory activities, right? Now, I'm so much speaking on purification. So now, what is exactly that purificatory activity? If tomorrow you have to install a purificatory machine in your house, like a water purifier in a house, what happens to you? You will see, what brand do I have? Where will I get it? For what cost? Is it free? No. I have to pay something. And how long it will last? Is it just that 1 year I'll use it and it will become of no use? So similar questions were raised by Maharaj Parikshit. Shukdev Goswami, the self-realized sage, sitting on the banks of Ganges, is talking to Maharaj Parikshit, telling him the last lessons of his life. He's about to die in 7 days, and he's sitting there, trying to know what is the purpose of my life. What should I do, as I know that my death is awaiting 7 days later? So in the process of his discourse, Shukdev Goswami is telling Parikshit Maharaj description of the hellish planets. What happens after so much sinful activity? The living entity has to suffer in this hellish planets, go through so many torturous hellish planets and suffer so much. After hearing that, it's like, you know, after you come out of a horror movie, what happens? You're like, you're too much, you buy that anxiety. So similarly here, Parikshit Maharaj is saying, oh my God, so much of anxiety. The first question Parikshit Maharaj is telling, he's saying, oh great sage, thank you so much. You've told me so much of history of the human civilization, that what has, you know, how the Swayambhu Manus have come, how the creation has taken place, how one can elevate his birth to a higher activity. But please tell me, Aduneha Mahabhaga Yathaiva Narakanara Nanogra Yatahaneyat Tanme Vyakta Tumarhasi. He's saying that, now please tell me, these people who are rotting in the hellish conditions, how are they to be liberated? They have done some sinful activity, I agree, but what is the way that they will be freed from their sinful reactions? I mean, you can see the quality of Maharaj Parikshit. He's not only worried about his own purificatory activities, he's worried about the purificatory activities for others. And who others? Others who are destined to suffer in hellish conditions. So then, Shukdev Maharaj is actually, he's giving answers to questions of Parikshit Maharaj, but at the same time, he's checking the qualification of his disciple. He's saying that whether he can take the knowledge properly, is he understanding? Many times, you know, in colleges, the professors goes on and on and on and on, and like the first row sleeps, the second row sleeps, the third row sleeps, and you know, he's not cared because he's getting his money and he's going on and on and on. But Shukdev Maharaj is like, whether you're understanding. So he says, actually, if one performs to elevate from a hellish condition of life, then one should perform, you know, proper prayaschitta according to the Vedic scriptures. Do this, and you know, as strong his Papa is, that strong prayaschitta according to Vedas he should perform. So Parikshit Maharaj is saying, my dear Shukdev Maharaj, I can understand, but please, what is the use of this atonement? Although people are seeing, people are listening, that after doing sinful activities, still people continue sinning, then what is the use of this prayaschitta, so-called prayaschitta according to the Vedas? It is like kunjara shauchava. Kunjara is elephant. A bathing of the elephant.
What does elephant do? He goes and takes a bath, cool bath, cleans nicely in the lake, but comes out and pours the dust again. What is the use of such bath? What is the use of such purificatory activity? Such prayaschitta which will not clean him of his sin. He is again going to do same thing. Srila Prabhupada actually uses this dialogue to begin his first text number 1 in the Nectar of Instruction book, where he says that how Parikshit Maharaj is putting this question. And after that, Sukhdev Maharaj is very much delighted. Oh good, I mean, you're really interested in the real stuff. You don't want just chalu stuff, you are interested in the real diamond, you know. Okay, but still he tests more. He says, okay, then one should perform austerity, celibacy, mind control, sense control, charity, truthfulness, cleanliness, yogic asanas, and some things like this, more things like this, so that he can purify oneself of the sinful proclivation. And then he says that just these sins, which are like dried leaves at the roots of a bamboo tree, are burnt, you know, and then, but he's saying, but the root is still there. The tree will again grow. If the fire comes, the tree will be burnt, the leaves will be burnt, but the roots are still there. So he's looking in the eyes of Parikshit Maharaj and understanding that, yes, he's waiting for, you know, he's not, from the body language, he's understanding that, okay, he's not satisfied with his answer. So he goes further with the real essence. And he says,
Kechit kevalaya bhaktya vasudeva parayana agham dhunvanti kachnena niharam iva bhaskaraha.
Only a rare person who has adopted complete unalloyed devotional service to Krishna can uproot the weeds of sinful actions with no possibility that they will revive. No revival. He can do this simply by discharging devotional service, just as the sun can immediately dissipate fog by its rays. Has anybody ever seen this phenomenon? In winters, there is thick fog in the fields. But just as the sun rises, what happens? The fog literally disappears. It dances away. Once we went to the Mayapur Yatra, over there, I just saw that as soon as the sun appeared, the fog, you know, just like as if, you know, you are, if you have some grains on a plate and you blow at it and how it runs away. Similarly, the fog was just running. So what is the use of your sitting and trying to brush away all fog? Just as the sun comes, the fog runs away. And a very graphic word is used here. Dhunvanti, you know, it's like the dhatu dhu, you know, dhunvanti, it's like, you know, dho deta, it's like, you know, cleans it up. You know, there's no spot left. So he's saying that when the sun of Krishna consciousness rises, when somebody serves Krishna with full absorption, what happens? All the contaminations, all the agham, all kind of sinful reactions and their inclination is, you know, thrown away, is completely killed. So Parikshit Maharaj is very happy to listen to this. That yes, definitely. If I perform this activity, definitely I will be relieved. So what is this perform? What is this actually purificatory activity?
Om apavitro pavitro va sarvavastham gato piva yah smaret pundarikaksham sabhaya bhyantara suchihi Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu.
Anybody of any stage, contaminated or purified, if once remembers the lotus-eyed Vishnu, he becomes purified internally as well as externally. Remembering the purified names of Lord Vishnu, of Lord Krishna, clarifies one's sins at once. The process is so clear. In my childhood, there's this movie where there's a story of a saint. His parents, they perform some wrong activity, because of which the panchayat in the whole village, they give them the prayashchitta of killing themselves. Saying that, okay, what you do is, you just kill yourself in Prayag, jump in Prayag, and you'll be purified as a sin. And I was, actually, as a child, I was very shocked. I said, what kind of, you know, aborigine activity is this? What nonsense is this? How can somebody be told to kill his life? Is there no other way? There's also a story of one of our devotees in the Gaudiya Sampradaya called Subuddhi Rai. The Subuddhi Rai was a person in Gaudadesh where he, at that time, the conversion that the Mohammedan faith used to perform is, they used to sprinkle a water from their sacred pot on somebody, and he was considered to be that he's lost his caste. So, similar thing happened with Subuddhi Rai, that his caste was, according to the notions that time, was lost. So he went to so many pundits that, no, what do I do? Now the society is no longer accepting me. What exactly should I do that they accept me? So many of the pundits told him, that is the only way. After that, what will happen? You'll take a new birth, and maybe that time you'll get a purer life. So one pundit told him, do one thing, you drink a full plate of hot ghee. What is going to happen after that? Hot ghee goes inside, he'll die. But when he met Nimai Pandit, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in Nadia, Mahaprabhu told him, just chant the holy names of Lord Krishna, which is so powerful that even the mightiest of the sin will run away. Just chanting the purified names of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And one will be purified of his sins. And not only sins, but proclivity to perform sin. One may perform sin and might do some prayaschitta, but he'll again do some sin because that proclivity is still there. But to kill that proclivity, one has to take the best of the method, and the best method is mentioned by the Vedic scriptures, is to chant and perform service to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. The glorious name of the Lord Krishna is so amazing that even when the classes which are below to the level of even human beings, those classes get purified just by taking the shelter of the devotee to chant the names of Lord Krishna. Such is the power of the names of the Lord that if a devotee who is performing proper devotional service, who is a bona fide pure devotee, if somebody even serves him, who is this somebody? Somebody who is below the level of Shudra. The levels which even nobody can imagine. A dog eater. Somebody from that stage, even if he worships the lotus feet of a devotee, even he is purified of his sins. That is the stage, or that is the glorified state of the holy names of the Lord. The best way of purification. Srimad Bhagavatam, in his first canto, tells us the effects of what is the glory of listening to Krishna Katha. When it says, Shrunatam Svakatha Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridayam Tastohi Abhadrani Vidhunoti Sahrat Satam. When somebody listens to the pure messages of Krishna consciousness, what happens? Vidunoti Suhrit Sutam. Again, that word comes, you know, that it literally kicks out all the misgivings in heart. That is the power of Krishna consciousness. And this Krishna consciousness, the activity that is performed by an individual, is so strong that the activity itself, you don't have to worry about purification. If somebody does the activity, the byproduct comes as purification. You don't have to strive for purification. The misgivings in one's heart, if you try to like, no, I have lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, illusion in my heart. If I want to remove that, you don't have to separately count, okay, today lust gaya, envy gaya, no. You don't need to separately endeavor for that. Once, if somebody worships the lotus feet of Krishna, if somebody performs service to Krishna, then the purification comes as a byproduct. The 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a verse which says, Kayena vacha manasendriyam va buddhyat manava prakriti svabhava karomi yadyat sakalam parasmai narayanayati samarapayami. Practically all the Maharashtrians have heard this since their childhood. This is a aarti which is performed by so many people, and this shloka has been sung by so many people since their childhood. But what is the gist of that? That whatever you do, kayena vacha manasendriyam va, by kaya, by vacha, or by manasa, by mind, by your words, and by your body, any activity you perform as a purification or as an offering to Vishnu, then that is the perfection of life. King Kulashekara tells us in the Mukundamala Sotra that what is the state of perfection for our senses. He says, Yat Krishna pranipata dhuli dhavalam tadvarishma tadvai shiras tenetre tamasojite suruchire yabhyam hari drishyate sa buddhir vimalendu shankha dhavala yamadhavadhyayini sa jivham ritvarshini pratipadam yastauti narayanam. He's saying that head is perfect, which bows down to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, and whose hair becomes white with the lotus feet, with the lotus dust of Lord Krishna. Yat Krishna pranipat dhuli dhavalam tad varshma tadvai shiras. And what is the perfection of eyes? One who takes darshan. Te nevatre tamaso jite suruchire. The ignorance has left, the darkness has left those eyes. Yabhyam hari dishyate. Who take the darshan of Lord Hari every day. Just like you all have so nicely taken darshan of Lala Gopinath. Sa buddhir vimalendu shankha dhavala. That intelligence is spotlessly clean. Vimalendu is clean like the white sun, which always thinks of Lord Krishna. Sa buddhir vimaledu shankadhavala ya madhavadhyayini sa jivhamrita varshani pratipadam ya stauti narayanam. And that tongue will always give nectar which is mentioning the glories of Lord Krishna. Now we have heard about so many processes that lead to purification. But the pure devotees of the Lord go one more step. They not only do activities for their own purification, but they do activities for the purification of others. And they are not worried about their own purification, but they are worried about the purification of others. Santa Tukaram, in his very famous Abhanga, he is glorifying the activities of a pure devotee. He is saying, Kaya vanu ata na purehi vani mastaka charani thevita se thori vasandili apuli pari se
निणे शिव कैसे लोखंडासी लोखंडासी.
The verse is very big, but here he says that I don't have words to glorify the activities of the pure devotees. He's saying that it is impossible for the biggest gem, the Parasamani, to come to the level of a Lokhanda, to the level of iron. But I'm seeing here the pure devotees come to the level of all the sinful people and deliver them. He's saying, Kai Vanuata, what? I don't have words. And he's saying, these people, what is their, you know, what is their interest? Their interest is just purificatory activities for others. Bhutanchi daya he bhandavala santa. Nahika mamata. Bhutanchi daya he bhandavala santa. Apuli mamata nahi dehi. They don't have any compassion for themselves. They're only worried about compassion to others. Such is the glorious activity of a pure devotee. Actually, where I left that shloka, Keshit Kevalya Bhaktya, he's, you know, but here, still Parikshit Maharaj is using the word Keshit, that some people who take full surrender. But the next verse, he clarifies by saying that, okay, you know, some people, but now I will take into the circumference everybody, not leave anybody. He's saying,
Na tatha hi agavan rajan puyeta tapadibhi yatha krishnarpita pranas tat purusha nishevaya.
My dear king, if a sinful person engages in the service of a bona fide devotee of the Lord and thus learns how to dedicate his life unto the lotus feet of Krishna, he can be completely purified. One cannot be purified merely by undergoing austerity, penance, brahmacharya, and other methods of atonement I have previously described. So now he is revealing the secret. He is saying that you don't have to go through a tedious task of performing, you know, brahmacharya, so many different activities. Just serve a pure devotee of the Lord, the shortcut way, and all of your sins will be taken care of. Everything, you know, is like account is dissolved. No more debits left. Everything is purified. So such is the glorious activities of purification. Pure, like the pure devotees, we can consider as the automatic purification, you know, machine, that you serve them and your purification is 100% guaranteed. Lastly, I would just like to mention one small anecdote that Srila Prabhupada used to say.
Shuchi hoy, muchi hoy, jadi Krishna tyaje, muchi hoy, shuchi hoy, jadi Krishna bhaje.
Srila Prabhupada is saying that one who is purified becomes contaminated if he leaves Krishna. But one who is contaminated and remembers Krishna, he at once becomes purified. Such is the powerful process that Srila Prabhupada so painstakingly, the Abhanga is sang of Tukaram Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada is the embodiment of that Abhanga, where not caring for his own body at the ripe age of 79, he travelled all the way to the west and gave the most purifying process to the western world so that they can realize their dormant Krishna consciousness, the real purification of heart, by chanting the holy names of Lord Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. I'm very sorry, I have not realized whatever I've said, but just reading Srila Prabhupada's books, I just try to repeat whatever the teachings he has given. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Actually, can we take one question? If anybody has one question or a comment, please, any comment the senior Godbrothers would like to give? Thank you very much. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki శ్రీల ప్రభుపాదకి తాయి గౌర ప్రేమానందే. ఐ రిక్వెస్ట్ ఆల్ ద డివోటీస్ టు ప్లీజ్ నౌ స్టే బ్యాక్ అండ్ రిలిష్ ద ప్యూరిఫికేటివ్ ప్రాసెస్ ఆఫ్ యు నో వెల్కమింగ్ ద లార్డ్ టు టేక్ హిస్ నైట్ న్యాప్ విత్ అ వెరీ బ్యూటిఫుల్ వెరీ మెలోడియస్ హరే కృష్ణ కీర్తన్ వేర్ యూ విల్ బి రిలీవ్డ్ ఆఫ్ యువర్ స్ట్రెస్ అండ్ ద లార్డ్ విల్ గెట్ అ గుడ్ న్యాప్ టు. థ్యాంక్ యూ. హరే కృష్ణ.